I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back, Ram fans. This is Rams Up, your favorite LA Rams podcast. We are proud members of the Fans First Sports Network. That's fansfirstsports.com. You can also follow us on YouTube. Our channel is at LA Rams Up. I'm your host, Mark. You'll hear from my co-host, Tom, on occasion as well. Hey, we're not Rams insiders. We're just longtime fans who love talking about our Los Angeles Rams. Let's get to it.
Welcome to another edition of Rams Up Rams Roundtable. I'm your host, Tom, at RamsBeat on X, and joined today by Mark, my co-host at Rams Up, and regular guest, Ian. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good.
Good stuff.
Doing good. I mean, shoot, gentlemen, we're only a week and some change away. That's insane from draft weekend. It's
draft
crazy.
Weekend.
That's so crazy. And real quick, everybody, if you're tuning in on YouTube, we very much appreciate it. Please hit the subscribe button. Please hit the like button. It helps the algorithm. Everybody will be able to see it. Other Rams fans, other football fans. And if you're listening on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Music, wherever you get your pods, we appreciate that too. Thank you very much. Just want to share that real fast.
Yeah, and absolutely. I've already warned my better half that that Thursday through Saturday, I will be unavailable.
That's right. Hey, man, I know the WNBA draft was today. I mean, that was a spectacle because truthfully, I don't remember that league ever having so much star power in a draft. It feels like this draft in the NFL is one of the biggest in recent memory as well. Quarterbacks, offensive players, a lot of good players in this one too. So, I mean, hey. The draft month, pretty good for American sports right now. Feeling good about it.
Yeah, so we're going to talk today. We're going to talk about the depth chart on the defensive side of the ball. But just in terms of the, what you're coming about the drafting, and that I'm hearing a lot, like almost consensus, that it's pretty top heavy, almost all on the offensive side of the ball. Like not,
yeah, it feels that way.
And then the depth really drops off on the back half of the, on the back half of the draft on day three, where, yeah. The Rams typically do a really good job. But a lot of people that, study this on a pretty hefty basis are saying that, like, there's not as good, there's not as many good players on day three as, and even at the end of day two, as there have been in the past. And some people are attributing that to NIL, to the NIL stuff, where more players are maybe staying in.
Yeah, probably.
If they're going to be, if they're going to get a late pick, then they, stay in or whatever. So I don't know. It's interesting how all that's shaping up. But anyway,
I mean, yeah, that's so crazy, though. I mean, doesn't it feel like every year is kind of like that, though, a little bit, where it's like, eh, the back half is whatever. It ends up, you know, there's always stars being found. I mean, but yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting that people feel that way, though, that this year is a little more, you know, talentless.
And yeah, especially on the defensive side of the ball, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where, you know, there's a few studs here and there, but, like, it's not – that's why, you know, with the top 10 is almost projected to be all offensive players, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, let's move on to the conversation about the Rams' defensive depth chart. So we're going to dig into this thing a little bit here. I'm going to go ahead and throw up this graphic. If you're watching on YouTube, go back here to start with the defensive. We're going to start with the defensive line. So,
yeah,
if you're watching on YouTube, the yellow are the, you know, so quote unquote projected starters. On the defensive side of the ball, there's a lot of question marks around this. There's some of them are locked in, but some of them aren't. And so, yeah, we're just going to take it kind of position group by position group. So if you're not watching on YouTube, what we have up here is we have Kobe Turner and Bobby Brown right now are penciled in to start, right? The other, the third defensive lineman, you know, we don't know who is going to be. Is going to be DeJuan Johnson or Laurel Murchison. And then the only other real player of any note from the defensive line we have is Corey Durden, you know, to back up Bobby Brown, you know, a big hefty kind of nose tackle guy who kind of hung around the Rams a little bit last year. So really, really thin on the defensive line. Ian, what are your thoughts?
Jesus. I mean, it's like, hey man, the true defensive player of the year, Kobe Turner, let's be honest, double team more than Aaron Donald last year, should have won it because of that. Should have won defensive rookie of the year. Excuse me, not player of the year. If I said that, defensive rookie of the year over Will Anderson. He's an edge guy. He's not getting double teams as much. So that's great. He's coming back. We expect good things from him. Bobby Brown's a coin flip too. Let's just be honest about it. Right, gentlemen. I mean, he's been on and off of playing. He didn't play his rookie season, the Super Bowl year. He had injuries in other years. He had suspension in this past year. And now this is his final year of his rookie contract, and it's really going to be up to him to preserve his NFL future, truthfully. Let's be honest. I mean, he's a big specimen. I like his personality. I like the way he plays when he is on the field, but that's just a coin flip. So those two, you're like, okay, not too bad. And then, obviously, Aaron Donald's done. Remember, number one right here on my screen. And golly, it's
Who else
not, it's not good, right? It's who's going to be in that spot? Laurel Murchison, who had what 16 total tackles last season, or you know, is it DeJuan Johnson, who's played very minute as well? So let's be honest, they're going to draft in that spot probably a couple, you know, picks worthy, right? I don't know what round that'll be. Is it a Byron Murphy in round one? Is it round two guys, and so forth and so forth? But it feels like they're going to address that spot. At least two draft picks, probably more. Again, Bobby Brown, final year of his rookie deal. Other D-tackle spot, we don't know jack about that spot right now based on the guys who are there. But, I mean, Mark, Tom, I mean, shoot, man. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't feel good. I don't feel good at based on this crew on the team right now.
Yeah, we did one mock draft where we went, Paul and I, where we took, I think it was Byron Murphy in the first round. And then we traded a 2025 second round pick and a bunch of other, several other picks and moved up into the second round in a better position than the second round. And I think we drafted Michael Hall. So kind of what you're calling for there, Ian, two guys that can, you can plug in and be immediate rotational players at a minimum. But what I'm wondering is, and we'll talk about Michael Hoyt here in a little bit, but there's been talk. Several people have suggested maybe, you know, having him bulk up and move back to the defensive line. I don't expect that to happen though. We got to add two defensive linemen in the draft. One of those top two picks, and people calling for edge. And again, we'll talk about edge in a minute. But I don't know if adding edge is going to do the trick unless you address this problem, this issue as well. You got to do both.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is going to be their almost is a bigger focus than edge.
I think so too.
They go hand in hand. I mean, because you know, most people view these guys is you go hand in hand in terms of it's the defensive line. You know, they're on the line of scrimmage, but you know, who we lost, Jonah Williams, right? Who was a good backup.
And yeah, he would have been starting in this spot for sure, right, guys? Yeah, he would have been on that. Yeah. He would have been then, the penciled in guy. Yeah.
And I think we also lost, it was Copeland, I think we lost, right?
Marquise, yeah.
Yeah, Marquise Copeland was there last year as well. So and then Donald's gone. So next thing you know, and most teams in the league are really, I mean, look at the 49ers. Like, they cannot get enough defensive linemen, right? They just,
yeah, I know,
they, it's, and a lot of players, a lot of teams are like that. The Eagles are like that. You know, it's just like a hockey line. Substitutions, you know, in and out during the, you know, play by, you know, every other down or something like that. So
yeah, I respect that philosophy too, though. I do respect that. And we're, as of right now, based on the group on screen and everybody that was listening, we ain't like that. We ain't like that in that terms of philosophy. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So let's call, you know, if we're summing up, we got one blue chipper here with Kobe Turner, and you know, Bobby Brown is Cooper in the background there.
Is that Cooper Pup back there?
Cooper Pup.
He's mad too about this group right
here.
Yeah,
he's sitting here looking at this defensive line with me.
He's barking, like, put me like, in, yeah, coach.
Man. He's like, Byron Murphy, round one, Tom. Byron Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what he's saying.
And the more film I watch on Byron Murphy, he is a really, really good player.
Yeah, it's. I think that if he's there at 19, just I know we're talking about our team currently, but I think that would be an easy no-brainer if he's there at 19. But again, I've been on record saying we'll move up, move down. But I feel like if he's there, I think they pull the trigger. Anyway, just want to share that real quick.
Yeah, and if we can, you know, well, we'll get into it a little bit more maybe. Kind of look at how does our reflection on this depth chart impact our view of the draft. But let's move next to the linebackers. Let's start with the edges. So we have Nick Young.
Byron Young.
I'm sorry. Nick Hampton, Byron Young. Byron Young. And we have Michael Hoyt. That's kind of who started the last year, right?
Yeah. And, it's the returning crew, right? I mean, shoot, as of this moment.
Yeah. And then backing them up is Nick Hampton, Keir Thomas, Zach Van Valkenburg, and O'Shawn Mathis. So there's some depth there. It's not super quality depth. Mark, what's your take on that group?
Well, I would just hope one of these guys, Hampton, Thomas, Mathis, are the likely candidates, takes a step forward and becomes an impact player. It doesn't have to be a Pro Bowler. It doesn't have to really be anything close to a Pro Bowler. Just someone that can come in and put pressure on the quarterback, maybe rack up a few sacks over the course of a season. And I think we've seen little bits of it from all three of them, but certainly not in a way that we can, you know, say, oh, we're good at this position. Not yet. I wish we knew. Do we go out and draft a guy like Latu in the first round? And does that really, I don't know, if one of these guys were to take a step up, it'd be nice. We can't see into the future though, right? Can't really count on it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think, gentlemen, I mean, look at Byron Young, what a nice third round pick he was. You know, he was tied or he was in the top 2-3 of sacks with Kobe Turner. Had a really nice season overall. There's still a lot of things for him to improve on, but as a third rounder who wasn't expected to do a lot, he did quite a lot, actually, and that was good to see. So, hey, now, no Aaron Donald, more attention to you. What are you going to do? Are you going to be able to up your game to match the production you had and increase it, or are you going to take that sophomore slump that we hope everyone in our team avoids, right? All our good freshmen, rookies, that balled out this past season. We want no sophomore slumps. Hopefully he's not that case. In terms of Michael, his first year playing outside linebacker, I mean, no one as good as you can if we can stop asking him to drop and cover people 15 yards down the field. Golly, that was irritating. But I think he can play the run well. I think he can get pressure. Is it, oh my God, Pro Bowl level with both these guys? Of course not. Ideally, Hoyt would be a great third man in this rotation. And I've said it in the past, gentlemen, and we've talked about it. To have just two edge guys be productive is just not good enough in today's NFL. It's just not. You need minimum four dudes to rotate in, two starters, two backups, to constantly, you know, keep the level of play, defending the run, setting the edge so nobody bounces outside and you get the long, wide runs that, you know, nobody can chase down, to attack the quarterback in the pass game. You need four guys. We just talked about the 49ers and Eagles not having, you know, or having way too many D linemen, edge rushers. We need to take that same approach, at least on the edge at the minimum. And, you know, look, Akir played a little bit. Von Valkenburg played a little bit. O'Shawn played probably the most out of all the backups here on this list. But, you know, unless they improve themselves, I mean, it's hard to expect them to take that leap forward. We hope that's the case. But I expect Edge to be drafted in rounds one or two, no doubt about it. And that person will probably overtake Hoyt. But if Hoyt improves, then great. That's a great issue to have. But I expect, you know, I expect Edge to be addressed in the draft, because Young and Hoyt, while that's not bad, it's not good enough to win multiple playoff games at this moment. I mean, do you disagree? Shoot.
So the first two picks you're saying are defensive tackle, Edge?
Yeah, I mean, hey, depending on how this thing shakes out, because who knows what the chaos will be on draft day, right? Round one, and then obviously day two with round two and round three. But I expect that to be addressed just like the D-line. You know, we have a lot of guys unproven. Get someone out of position to a lot of our fan base, and then we have a young stud that still needs to grow. So, hey, we'll see what happens. I hope the best for everybody on this this page here for the edge outside linebackers.
Yeah, I think, I mean, Keir Thomas and Van Valkenburg, I mean, kind of, you know, undrafted guys, and they just, you know, they played well, right? They made the team, unrestricted free agents and so forth.
Yeah.
I think both of them actually came up off of the practice squad at some point. But Nick Hampton, he was a fifth round pick, I think, last year, and Mathis was a sixth round pick. And so these are guys that are going into their second year, you know, played a backup role. They, you know, especially Hampton almost got redshirted and so forth. So I think that these guys take a step up. That would be great. Those are the guys that I would look to, you know, to try and emerge in their second season, or at least move into a situation where they can provide really strong minutes snaps in a backup role. So that's my take. But yeah, we definitely need, I mean, this is not a terrible, it's not terrible depth if you get one more stud opposite of Young, right? Then all of a sudden, we're feeling like, okay, we got two studs and a bunch of guys to back them up.
Yeah, that's how we should feel. Dang it. That's the ideal scenario, Tom.
Yeah, and the concern is, the dilemma is, and I hate to bring this up, but I'm sorry, it's true. The hit rate on first round edge rushers is not good. So to think that just because we're going to draft an edge rusher in the first round doesn't mean we're solving the problem necessarily either. You just never know. I think it's a little better hit rate on defensive tackles and such. So that's another concern. Just got to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's just same, man. These are the lottery tickets that we're purchasing, right? Every draft, we've turned them in for proven players. Now we're back in the pool of scratching them off and hope we hit a jackpot like Aaron again, right? Or win a couple million like a Goff and a Gurley, where it was good for a short period of time, right? That's round one for you, right? Half of them are gonna work, half of them aren't, and Edge is no different. Shoot.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to let's talk about the linebackers. Yeah. So kind of the same crew from last year, right? We got Ernest Jones holding down the fort. We got, you know, one stud in this position group. And
yeah, he's good.
And then Roseboom, you know, again, a guy that probably played way above his expectations last year. He played well.
He did, honestly.
Yeah. And then Hummel coming back, and Troy Reader coming back. So, again, the same cast of characters. It's on this defensive, on the in the box here, we have Kobe Turner, Byron Young and Ernest Jones, one guy in each of the three position groups that's a stud, and then a bunch of other guys. So
I know
this is the, I don't know, Ian, of all the positions, I feel like linebacker is the one where we can have a guy like Roseboom, or, you know, he's much better than Troy Reader, by the way, or even Hummel in there. I like, but this is the one position where I feel like we can have a guy like that and be successful.
No, I agree. I mean, like you said, I was shocked with Roseboom playing kind of well. There was a lot of games I was like, dude, he ran fast. He didn't look slow. He attacked the ball carriers with, you know, quick precision. And I mean that in a sense where it's read and react at the inside linebacker position, everybody listening. You have to be able to diagnose, digest, and then react like in split seconds. And just like every other position, that's the case. But definitely inside linebacker, because you're roaming the middle of the field. You're the first line of true run defense, right? If, let's say, a Donald or a Turner or a Bobby Brown or a Laro Murchison, as of who's penciled in right now, you know, holds their gap and maybe they run, you know, they get ran right by in the run game. Those two guys got to make the tackle. And then we got to cross our fingers, our secondary guys who have struggled with tackling can save the day. So, Roseboom, for being a guy no one thought anything of, he did all those things pretty well. Play pass coverage solid. And obviously he was taken out in the dime and some of the nickel stuff every now and then too. And that's acceptable. That's the point of those packages, to have more DBs in place of him. But I think he did a good job. And fingers crossed that if this position isn't drafted, which I think it should, by the way, Jones in the last year, Ernest Jones in the last year of his rookie deal, please extend him. What are we doing here? And then Roseboom, obviously, one-year deal. Reader on a one-year deal. Hummel, I don't remember exactly how many years left. I assume it's one or two. And that's it. Next year, no one will be on the team. So I expect another position on this inside linebacker crew to be drafted on draft day as well. Whether these guys are going to end up being good or not, you know, these rookies that will come in, we'll see. But another layer of the defense where we need to address. Shocking.
Yeah, Mark, I don't think – did we draft an inside linebacker last year?
I do not believe so. Yeah. I'd have to check, but I do not believe so. And to your point, Ian, and I don't have these stats in front of me, but you could probably take an educated guess. How many snaps, what percentage of snaps is that second linebacker even on the field for our defense? Maybe 30%?
Well, I want to say it's probably a little bit more if I had to throw a number on it, because – when we went nickel, and everyone out there, that means there's five defensive backs. We take out one of the D tackles, probably the nose tackle. Bobby Brown would come out in the situations last year, and we'd put in an extra DB. And that's where we would go, you know, Quinn Lake to the star, and then we'd have John Johnson and Fuller up top at safety with Akello, and then whoever else was the other corner that week on the outside. So he would stay in those nickel packages, and he would do well. When we went dime, that's when he would get yanked the most. And we probably did dime maybe another 50% of the time-ish. So I would say, if I had to throw a number on it, I mean, Roseboom played maybe like 40-ish percent of the snaps. Because, again, he was on the field for a lot of those nickel packages because he can hang. He could run around and cover some guys. It was a perfect – no, but hopefully that continues. Shoot, we'll need it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Yeah, I'm looking real quick at my draft history spreadsheet. I know we drafted, I think it was Clay Johnston. think that was his name, a couple of years back. At inside linebacker, and that may have been the last one, and that was that was before Ernest Jones, actually.
Yeah, they don't draft these guys.
No, you don't.
Well, did we lose Tom?
Yeah, I think so. But to his point, I mean, we don't draft this position. Ernest Jones wasn't, you know, the exception, being in the third round. He ended up being a really good third round pick. But I'm glad you're back here, Tom. But I was agreeing with your point. We don't draft it other than Ernest Jones, who luckily is a Pro Bowl level inside linebacker.
Right.
Yeah.
They're happy getting they don't even draft these guys like in the late rounds. They're happy getting them off the street.
Yeah, so the more you talk about the linebacker position, and it almost sounds like it's an argument for adding picks, moving back in the draft, because as we go through this, we need a defensive tackle or two. We need an edge rusher. Oh, we need a linebacker. We're going to have zero next year. And if you draft a linebacker, if you draft an inside linebacker, let's say in the first three rounds, is he a guy that's going to see the field, or is that a message to Ernest Jones? Hey, you know, we're probably not going to re-up. I don't know. It gets kind of messy, the messages you're sending to your team. Are they really going to draft inside linebacker early at all? I see linebackers I really like in the late second, early third round, but I just don't know if it's a wise use of our draft capital, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Ernest Jones too after this year, because they definitely don't like to pay inside linebackers, but other teams do, and there, you know, there's a lot of safeties and inside linebackers are positions that some of the other teams in the league will pay. So if you get a guy like Ernest Jones, right, he could get a market out there that that the Rams just won't be won't want to meet. So it'll be interesting, but this year so far, it's running it back basically with the linebacker group. So let's move on to the.
That's crazy, by the way. Isn't that just crazy how free agency turned out? And it's like, well, they're the same crew. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it's like, dang it, that's whack.
Couldn't sign. Couldn't find a linebacker.
Or out, even Edge, our outside linebackers too. I'm lumping them all together.
That's true.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll see.
Yeah. We haven't seen any orange yet. Orange is the designated color for free agents. So, even good just to step back. No defensive line, no inside linebacker, no edge free agents.
Yeah. Hey, here you go, Chris Shula, first-time play caller. Let's figure it out without the greatest of all time, too, by the way.
Subtract.
That's a tough gig.
It's still early. We got draft. We got the post-draft free agency. Post June 1 cuts and so forth. So there's still time.
Yeah, there is.
Okay, this has a little bit more color to it because there was a little bit more activity. So if you're watching on YouTube, the orange are guys that are free agents, right? And then the yellow are theoretical other starters, and then the blues are the backups. So for those of you not looking at, not watching on YouTube, we have, let's start with the cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. So we have our good friend Darius Williams is back, along with Trey White, who are penciled in here as the starting corners. So let's just start there real fast, guys. Let's just talk about those two guys, right? These two are probably prime free agent signings to bolster that, reeling cornerback group. Mark, what are your thoughts on these two guys? What kind of grade would you give them, ABC style, in terms of how happy you are with those two guys being our outside corner?
Well, I'm always the eternal optimist when it comes to my Rams and their free agent signings. And so I'd give it, discounting the money, because I don't have that in front of me, I'd give probably both of them A-. White, there's the injury concern, the recovery from the injury, if he's going to be 100% on day one. And Williams, I've always loved him. He's getting a little bit older, though. Has his play tailed off a little bit? I'm not sure. or is it going to start tailing off? But I just like the fact that, you know, we are so deep and we haven't talked about the guys behind him yet, but our secondary just is full of guys that even Kendrick, as much as, you know, we, you know, kind of make fun of him and discount his contribution. If we had to run him out there for a game or two, it wouldn't be the end of the world. And he's what perhaps our sixth best cornerback at this point. So to answer your question, I'm happy with these signings, and it's almost like, we'll get to the other guys here in a second. It's like they were just committed to pumping up this secondary and making it kind of a kick-ass secondary, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like they got these guys. They wanted to take care of this position group in particular before the draft. They didn't. They knew, I think, they needed to really deal with some other things in the draft. These positions probably weren't in their reach and so forth. So they decided, let's handle these in free agency. But Ian, are you happy with, assuming they stay healthy, especially Trey White, are you happy with Williams and White on the edges?
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that Darius Williams is back. I mean, guys, our whole fan base for years was like, Darius sucks. He's not that good. Guys, he was a good football player. He was a good corner. Is he the biggest? Clearly not. But the guy's got great ball skills, and he played good football for Jacksonville the past, you know, two, three years.
And yeah, a great year.
We're hoping, obviously, that continues in his second stint with us. So I'm happy with it. But what grade would I give it? I would say I would give it a B-plus at the moment. I would give it a B-plus. It could turn into an A if things go well, right? And in terms of Tre'Davious White, look, it. We gave him a contract with up to $10 million in possible money. The Achilles scares me. The ACL, he missed 24 games in the last, you know, 2-3 years. Not good. But if he is healthy, then things can be fantastic. We have two legitimate outside guys if all things come together. Health, the play continuing to be good from the last good moments we've seen from them both. But hey, I like that. I like this duo better than last year's duo, Akello and whoever was, you know, not screwing up last year, right? Was getting Elway, Kendrick, Kobe, and golly, that was frustrating. So I mean, as of today, this duo on the outside is much better, and I feel better about them two being our starting outside corners as of today. We'll see if we address into the draft, though, right?
Yeah, and then I feel like Quentin Lake has pretty much solidified that star position, right? In that, and when we go into a nickel, and the backups. So we have Kobe Durant and Cam McCutcheon, Trey Tomlinson, Sean Jolly, and Darion Kendrick, right? So there's a lot of bodies there, and I feel like, thankfully, Durant, especially, and Kendrick got so many reps last year, Mark, that just from a backup perspective, you know, a lot of Durant was pretty good. Kendrick was so hot and cold. And, you know, I don't, what are your thoughts on the depth here?
I know, geez.
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, for those of you looking at the screen on YouTube, I have Lake and Tomlinson up there. I just kind of threw names up there. I know they're not going to be this. They're not going to have the same role in this defense. I don't mean to say one's going to be backing up the other, but I think Lake will be on the field a lot, and Tomlinson will be in a backup role, probably more of a special teams or teamer guy. But you know, I think Durant and Jolly and Tomlinson and even Kendrick have shown that they are NFL. Defensive backs that can contribute at some level at some point. And that's what you want, right? You can't expect to have, you know, studs as your backups. You want guys that, young guys that have a lot of potential still, that you know what their weaknesses are, you know how they can contribute, you know how, where you need to put them so that they can succeed. And I think we're okay with this group. And Cam McCutcheon, he's a little bit of a wild card. He's a bigger cornerback. Maybe he won't even be on this active roster, but I'm really happy with this group. I feel like our work is done. Now, they're going to probably draft a cornerback anyways, but if we rolled with this group on day one, I'd feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I feel like that. Again, I mean, the best thing
for
the
and gentlemen, let me say this while we have it. Real quick, apologies.
Yeah,
I just think, look at Lake. I know we have a safety, and I think he's best at the star. Cameron Curl is going to play strong safety. That second safety is up for grabs in my estimation, because Russ Yeast played really good at the dime linebacker spot. So when we take out a Rose Boom, right, when we go six DBs and we have, you know, Yeast play that linebacker spot next to Ernest in those dime packages, six defensive backs, he played good there. But traditional safety, he got benched for John Johnson, right? That's what happened. And John Johnson's not back on the team. Now, can Yeast improve and reclaim that? It's possible. But I think he would be better suited as the dime spot, and we find somebody else to, you know, take that spot. But we'll see how things unfold. But I think that second free safety spot is definitely up for grabs. And obviously, Lake, we think he could do it too, but he's better at the star. So, again, it's about finding where everybody fits in the correct spots. Don't you agree? And I just think that second safety spot next to Curl is up for grabs, in my opinion. What do you guys
think? Yeah, that could – Paul seems to think Taylor has a shot at winning that job.
Yeah, Jason That'd Taylor cool. was a – a six or a seven last year. In terms of the safety, so Cam Curl, obviously another, you know, our third big free agent signing in the offseason here. And then Russ Yeast, you know, is he going to start? Jason Taylor, is he going to start? Tanner Engel, you know, another guy off the practice squad. And so, you know, we have one guy if you take out Quentin Lake, you know, who I believe is a bona fide starter, but you know, if he's sticking in the, he's going to stick in that star role, which they use a lot. This defense uses it a ton. Yeah. Then we might need another. I feel like safety is a really, you know, how early will they do it, right? They love drafting their six round safeties, and do they bring in another free agent, another veteran guy on a low number that doesn't get picked up? So we'll have to see what. But there's I feel like, Mark, you said that you're good to roll with the group we have at cornerback, but not so much safety, huh?
I think ideally we would add another safety in the draft, or a very possible scenario could be as the draft unwinds, they have John Johnson on the phone to bring him back. I was surprised they haven't brought him back, because the word on the street is he helped recruit, was it Darius Williams? I think he recruited Darius Williams to come back or help in that effort.
That's so, Kobe did, too.
Yeah, right. So that could be – so there's some good players still out there on the market. I just don't know how much they can spend. So, you know, John Johnson might be within their budget.
Yeah. I mean, gentlemen, shoot, every level of the defense, right, we go D-line, inside linebacker, edge, freaking corner could be addressed, safety needs to be addressed. I mean, just every possible specific unit, and it's like, dang. When you break it down like this, it's like maybe training back is probably plan A or should be plan A. Just getting more picks to acquire more talent. I mean,
yeah, well, fortunately, and we'll get to the offense another day, but I think the situation on the offensive side is a little bit different, at least. So we go through this, it's like you're right, every level of the defense, but we could very easily draft seven defensive players and four offensive players, and that could be how it unfolds.
And a kicker.
And a kicker.
Yeah, can we start just one of those, the what is it now, the XFL, USFL, I forgot the correct league name. Apologies, everybody out there. But every kicker seems to be making 55-yarders like nothing, it seems like. Every time I see some highlight, a kicker's bombing a 56-plus-yarder, I'm like, also, these guys aren't good enough for the NFL, clearly, right? All GMs out there.
I thought the same thing, yeah.
Golly, so yeah. Let's get one of those guys at the minimum, please. Jeez Louise. So I agree.
Yeah, you see those Irish guys kicking also now? These Celtic stars or something? Yeah, they're eyeing the NFL too. So I think
bring them over. Yeah. It's better than the bull crap we've been dealing with.
Yeah, these retread dudes that are
in the camp. Let's see. I know the A's are starting soon, so bring them in. Let's see what they got.
Yeah, so just to slide back here. So just to recap.
Yeah.
So can we all agree we have one bona fide starter in Kobe Turner on the defensive line and an okay enough nose tackle with Bobby Brown that we'd love to get another one.
So it's a good way of characterizing it.
But we need depth. We need at least three new defensive linemen, whether it be through the draft or through free agency. We got to bolster this position. You can't run with this group. No way, shape, or form.
I agree,
Well, three may be a big ask.
Well, between the draft and picking up a guy or two, you know, a guy off the street somehow.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, just to run with, we usually run with how many defensive linemen? I think it's seven, eight, right? At least. So if we move to edge, we have six edges. We feel like if we got one, we got Byron Young, who's an established player. And then if we got one super strong early draft pick or a really strong free agent, we'd be happy with this group, right?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah,
yeah. I would.
And then inside linebacker, so hard to tell. I mean, the Rams fans are all, you know, saying, why don't we get another stud in there and do what, you know, the Ravens do and some of these other teams that have two studs, you know, or the Niners. And just not how the Rams roll. It's just, you know, it'd be great if one of these guys stepped up, but I just don't see it. I can see him running back with Jones and Roseboom this year.
Yeah. Well, when you start prioritizing positional needs, this comes in near the bottom. A need, yes, but there's more pressing needs.
Yeah, and it's kind of telling about their plans that they just re-signed Troy Reader, and it tells you where their heads are at.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So okay. So now we go into the secondary, and we looked at the cornerback group. We're pretty happy with D. Will and Trey White on the outside. Love Quentin Lake at the nickel, at the star. And there's five guys. I mean, Durant for sure and Kendrick have experience. Mixed reviews and how they played. Tomlinson, we'd love to see get some more play time. Sean Jolly played okay when he stepped in. Cam McCutcheon didn't see a lot of. But, you know, there's some depth there. It'd be nice to get one or two guys there, you know, and somehow to get a little bit more depth. But we'll see how that plays out. Mark, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like I said, the cornerback situation is, I think we're in a really good place. And there are some good cornerbacks at the top of the draft, but I suspect the Rams are going to pass on them and roll with this group.
And invest more in the box. And then safety, we get Cam Curl, great signing, super, you know, really looking forward to him. But we do need another starting safety. I just can't roll with Yeast unless Taylor steps up and plays out of his mind. I just can't roll with Yeast back there. I mean, he's a good backup. He can play some reps, but he gets exposed and too many reps gives defensive coordinators too much time to scheme on him. So I feel like we really need a safety in.
Yeah, I think there is some at the end of the third round, assuming we roll with the picks we have, that 99th pick, there are some safeties, some really talented safeties that could be right in the Rams' wheelhouse. So you never know how the draft's going to unfold. There's a couple that Paul and I have talked about on our mock drafts that Paul really likes, and I agree with him. So that could be what happens. You know, late third, fourth round pick. And the Rams have found talented safeties later than that, right? Nick Scott.
I mean, luckily, Chris Shula, he's the one who is a safety guy. He's the one who identified John Johnson to be drafted late. He's the one who identified Jordan Fuller to be drafted late. So it'll be up to him to continue that good little trend of finding good, you know, Pro Bowl fringe starting level safeties, you know, because, you know, a healthy John Johnson was a Pro Bowl level starting safety in that 2020 season. Jordan Fuller, for until his ankles kept having issues, he was a Pro Bowl fringe level starter other than, you know, this last year. But so it'll be up to you, new coordinator Shula. Can you help us on draft day a little bit again with that back end, please?
Good stuff. So counting them out, Kobe Turner, Ernest Jones, Byron Young, one player in each of the position groups on in the box. And then at cornerback, three pretty much established guys, right? And D. Will, Quentin Lake, and Trey White, and then Cam Curl at safety. So there's this, that's a total of seven guys and then a bunch of backups, you know? And
Yeah,
so we need to definitely reinforce. I think that, God, I just keep looking at this D line, and it is,
it's not good, dude.
Oh, it's not good. I mean, just look at them. Look, as I know I said it, but look at play. You know, teams like San Francisco. And
how would you feel? How would you feel if Aaron Donald was still on this this defensive line? You wouldn't even be giving it much thought, right?
I mean, I still feel like we needed some back. We needed some more depth. You know, but it, that's like the super stud of super studs to step in.
Right.
But I'm really actually pretty anxious to see Kobe Turner play that that three tech. And you know, I think he's gonna get a lot more run, even though he did a pretty good job at, you know, using his quickness and the playing nose tackle most of the year. So it'll be fun to see. So but yeah, I just feel like we did lose those guys. Jonah Williams and Marquise Copeland were our two main backups, and we lost both of those guys along with our superstar. So there's a lot of depth that's used at that position group for sure.
Yeah, there is. It's like we said, Byron Murphy, if he's there at 19, or, you know, if we end up staying, let's just pull the trigger and let's move on. We can get a Chop Robinson possibly in round two, and we can address both needs, you know, in the
first And I think Murphy is, you know, I would call him a sure thing, but pretty darn close.
He's a lot more so than
Latu, right? I mean, I love Latu. If you're going to go the other way, go edge rusher. I like Latu and Jared Verse, but I'd take Byron Murphy. And then there's Newton. If Murphy goes first, if someone else grabs Murphy, is Newton out of Illinois an option? Might have to go that way.
The problem is with Murphy is not – I'm not talking about his play and all that, because I think he can play at any position on the D-line, any spot, right? If he needed to play nose, I think he could do it. If he needed to play three technique, five, wherever, I think he could do it. The issue is our position in the draft, which is why I say we move up or move down depending on how things shake out. Because let's be honest here. Chicago is going to love Byron Murphy, right? All the defensive guys, pretty much from 9 to 18, everyone's going to want – Byron Murphy would fit them. Right, that's the issue here, especially at 18, because they need some D tackles there in Cincinnati, and then definitely Seattle, someone to pair with Leonard Williams, because they now are also going to run a 3-4 scheme with their new head coach. So I mean, got to move up, or we just hope things, you know, fall our way, and if not, move back so we can address a lot more positions. But that's the only crappy thing, is that because of our draft spot, it's going to be tough to get somebody. And then, you know, if that ends up being the case, do we pull the trigger on Latu first, et cetera? But we'll see, man. Draft day is going to be crazy at round one, see how it unfolds. But if he's there, Murphy, that would be the right choice.
I think that's what I'm settling on too, is defensive tackle, edge, or flip it, reverse it, depending on how the draft breaks out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be good. Well, hey, good stuff. Good way to break down this defensive side of the ball. We'll be back hopefully on Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. We'll be back on Wednesday to look at the offensive side of the ball. Hopefully Paul can join us at that point and dive in on that as well. I think that's going to be a couple fewer holes than we have on the defensive side of the ball.
Oh, I mean, I mean, guys, just a little preview for that for everybody to tune in. I mean, what a complete 180 that's going to be. Let's just be honest. Yeah. You know, we thought the defense was going to be whack last year, right? Everyone's like, we're going to be offensive heavy. It ended up being the opposite majority of the season, right? Defense was saving us in games when the offense was crap, right? Yeah. Play calling, skill, injuries, all that stuff. And it's a little more scaled, and the defense is worse this time around, everybody. So let's just see what happens. The offense is going to have to carry us to make a deep playoff run. That's just how it's going to have to be.
That's it. Well, thanks again, guys. And been another round table. And joined by Mark and Ian, I'm Tom, and we'll see you guys in a couple of days. Thanks for joining.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Rams. Best team as a player. Please, just do it.
That's going to do it for this episode. Remember, you can reach us at ramsuppodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget about our YouTube channel. Our handle is at larramsup.com. Till next time, keep the horns up, stay safe, and have fun out there.